Welcome to Podcasting for Introverts. I'm Julia Levine, aka the podcast teacher. I'm a fellow introvert, entrepreneur, and educator. If you want to start a podcast and expand your reach without social media, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Hey, hey, and welcome back. Today's episode is all about how introverted podcasters can guide their audiences to take the next steps with them. Because while podcasting is super fun, it does take time, energy, and financial investment. For most of us, we need to see a return on those investments in order to stick with podcasting for the long haul. For those of us in business, a return on investment usually comes in the form of leads or customers. But podcast listeners don't just automatically turn into leads and customers. We, as the hosts, have to ask them to take action. And for introverts, this can be easier said than done. I know this is something that I personally struggle with here on my show, and so I'm delighted to have Steve Stewart here as a guest to chat about this topic today. Steve is a fellow podcast industry professional, producing 20 episodes a week for personal finance podcasts like The Stacking Benjamin Show, Afford Anything, and The Milmo Show. He also teaches others to build their own post-production business through the Podcast Editor Academy. Steve has been a mentor to me throughout my career so far and has become a dear friend. He's a genuinely wonderful human, and I'm thrilled to share our conversation with you today. Hey, Steve, welcome to Podcasting for Introverts. I am so excited that you are here with us today. Thank you for your time. I'd love to start by just having you introduce yourself. Just a couple quick facts, who you are, what you're doing here.
Well, thanks, Julia. Thanks for having me on. I am also an introvert who found ways to get myself out of my own way, which I think we'll talk about in a little bit when we get into this topic. But I've been a podcast editor for 8 years, but in the podcasting space for 13, because I love the medium and I just love helping podcasters in all kinds of ways.
We definitely share that love. So we're here to talk about CTAs for introverted podcasters. And so let's just start out by making sure we're all on the same page. Can you talk a little bit about what is a CTA and why is that important for podcasters?
A CTA is simply a call to action. It's the acronym for this thing that we should be doing to tell people what we want them to do. And as introverts, we're timid, we're shy, we don't want to get into selling things. We don't want to be that car salesman who's pushing people into something that they're not ready for. That's not the type of people that we are. So a call to action in our world is really how are we getting people to do things without really asking them or telling them what to do? And if we're doing something, it's a podcast, we're doing coaching, we've got a service or a product to provide, we're doing it for a reason. That reason has to pay off. Otherwise, we're going to stop doing it. So in the people who are listening to your show, I imagine these are new podcasters or starting new shows. So what does a podcaster need to do to be able to get some kind of payback, some kind of benefit from doing all this work? I was doing a podcast from 2010 to 2015, and I learned some things about call to actions that I wasn't doing. And it was the fact that I really wasn't doing it. It was as simple as that. And once I realized that, then things changed for me. And I was able to craft ways to be able to give calls to action without being that salesman guy.
Absolutely. And so introverts in particular really struggle with that. Ooh, I'm asking someone to do something. I'm kind of putting myself even more in the spotlight. There's that pressure. It kind of feels somewhat icky.
Icky's the word. Yep.
And I will sit here and fully admit that I need to work on my CTAs on this podcast because I, you know, I think most podcasters, our goal is to show up, provide value, help people. And yes, most of us are running businesses as well, but we don't want to be that car salesman, like you said. And so personally, I'm so focused on just providing value that sometimes I forget to work in some of these things.
Yes. And as a teacher, you've got a background in teaching. Yes. You're always providing information. Your only call to action was do your homework and turn it in to me for scoring, right?
Exactly.
But now as a podcast teacher, as a podcaster, let's just talk to your audience a little bit more about that. We're being able to provide a medium that can be consumed at any time. So it's not like we have to show up live. So we can record these things. We can edit these things. We can decide not to put them out, which makes it more comfortable for us to actually do the thing and get that call to action there. And we're able to use things like pre-recorded messages or calls to action that are dynamically inserted in podcasts if we're using those types of media hosts. So it makes it easier for us to still focus on the teaching part or the providing value, the coaching, the offering of our services or our products in a way that is helpful to people. That's what we want to do. But then that call to action can come at a later time after we've already done what we wanted to do, which is provide that education, that helpfulness, that mindset change that a lot of coaches and people do.
Absolutely. So what are some easy, kind of low pressure kind of ways to ease into CTAs that you might suggest introverted podcasters start with?
Yeah, that's really the trick there, isn't it? Because you don't want to go in and saying, hey, buy my $1,000 coaching course right off the bat. You want to maybe do some soft sell things, which is get them into your ecosystem. The calls to action there can be pretty direct, but they're easy to do. And I think a lot of introverts like us can say, follow us on social. Now, people in your community are like, I don't want to be on social. Got it. Okay. Well, hopefully you've got a website or something and you're providing some kind of an update with a newsletter, or maybe you're doing blog posts. So you're asking people to sign up for your newsletter, or maybe you've got a free resource and you can get them in your newsletter. So get people involved in your ecosystem, get them to take action in that way, which is really easy for most people to do. I know a lot of people go on YouTube and they're watching videos and they hit a subscribe button and that's it. They're like, oh, I gave them, that's such a low call to action that it's a no-brainer. And I mean, really, there's no value there. But getting them into your ecosystem and reminding them that you're there, or people come back and listen to your podcast over and over again, or whatever it is, once you're in their face for a while, but you're providing value every step of the way, you earn that trust. People start to like you. They get to know you. And that know, like, trust factor is really, really important when you're trying to provide a service or some kind of product to potential new clients or customers.
Yes, 100%. That's like a lead magnet is kind of my number one recommendation usually for podcasters, because that gives them additional value. So the podcast consumer has incentive to opt into it because they're going to get something from it. And then also you're getting them onto your email list, which enables you to further the conversation and continue to connect with them, continue to build that know, like, and trust factor, exactly like you said. What about some more kind of, not exactly like subliminal messaging, but like more kind of natural weaving in, where you're maybe not necessarily asking them to do something directly, but you're kind of planting seeds that kind of perks up their ears a little of like, oh, she has more to offer. He has more to offer.
Well, I primarily talk to podcasters. So I'm going to talk about the podcasting medium. Mm-hmm. But there's other ways that people can use these same types of suggestions. It just may not fit exactly in the same, whatever you're doing, if you're doing a product or service outside of a podcast. But one is using the power of suggestion. And this is something that you might refer to in your content. We'll just say content there. So it might be telling stories about things that have come up in coaching. You've coached a client on, in my background, I was working to be a financial coach. So I was helping people with their budgets. And it was, okay, so here's some things we talked about when we were helping this person get out of credit card debt. Or mention how it's something in your course. Or I'm sure you hear this with authors all the time. In my book, I wrote blah, blah, blah. They're dropping hints. Oh, there's a book. Very soft type of mentioning there. So you're suggesting these things inside of your content. Another one is product placement. So not just maybe suggesting things, but actually using them in your content and what you provide. And this could be also done on social media, but we're not going to go there because we're introverts, right? Yeah. So if you've got listeners who are asking questions, use that content. Use that as content. So people send in a question, whether it's a voicemail or an email, use that to create content. Maybe you could do some themes. And I had a client who one month decided she was going to take some time off and decided to do a theme of replays. And so she took a bunch of shows that she had already recorded, but it was focused on millennials. And it was very millennial themed. And by doing that, we're not talking about the replay so much, but by having that focus on the millennials, people now more associate her with financial coaching and advising for millennials. It was using the content to place this product or this service in front of people saying, I'm good with millennials. And something that I did for a while was in my show, I would do a tip of the week, but it was on something that I had an affiliate relationship with. It was a software program. Now it's just a service called YNAB. You need a budget. Great budgeting software that we still use today. And I had an affiliate link with them. So if people signed up using my link, I would get a couple of bucks. Well, I made that content. I would say, hey, here's your YNAB tip of the week. And I would say, here's how you do this thing, or here's how I use that thing. And it would become content. But it was also kind of saying, by the way, if you want to, you know, try YNAB out for yourself, go to this link. And then they could try it out. And if they bought, then I would get a couple of bucks. Something else is, you know, I talked about people citing questions and I talked about, you know, using things for content, but then using those reviews. If you get any kind of reviews or some kind of feedback, use them as things on your show, or even better yet, you get some kind of testimonials. And Julia, I know you do this on your website. Use them as content on your website. This is credibility. This is social proof. And it's not something you even had to ask for again. They've already provided it to you. Just make sure you get the permission to use it in a public area or anonymize it. And then you don't have to get that permission. I've got two more things. One is, you hear this all the time, help the show. Well, this is a great call to action. It's not my favorite because it's kind of like begging. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later probably. But you're not necessarily asking for donations or anything, but maybe asking your customers, your listeners, your viewers to share this content with somebody else. If they found it valuable, maybe they know somebody else who will as well. So provide that opportunity to say, by the way, if you found this helpful, share it with a friend. Tell somebody else that this was helpful to you. They're going to do it. They're going to say, oh, I heard this great thing, this great tip. You know, Julie was talking about show titles and I learned something new there. So you can do something like that, or even ask them to take a snapshot on their smartphone and post that to social media. Although we shouldn't be talking about social media, right? But it's an easy way to put some stuff on social media that's, you know, not hard for people to do, and say, hey, I'm listening to this episode. This is great. And it's very easy to do. And the last one is just to make it easy for people to act. When we're talking about some, we'll say, harder calls to action. That's where you actually have links to sign up for your course or buy your book or join your mastermind or whatever it is. You got to make it easy for them to get there and sign up for it. So and again, I'm talking to podcasters primarily, is in your show notes, in your show description, I recommend you only have one link. Maybe you do two or three, but I recommend one link. It goes right to the blog post that supports that episode. And on that blog post, you have all the links to all the things to follow on the social, sign up for the newsletter, buy the book, buy the course, sign up for the mastermind, join the masterclass, whatever it is. I've made it easy for people. I'm going to make it easy for them to act. So when I do say, hey, go to the show notes, and in there, you're going to see a link that goes right to all these resources, including the cat video I was just talking about. It's all there for you. And they've landed on your website, which is where you want them to go if you're providing a product or a service. So those are the five things: the power suggestion, product placement, using reviews and things like that as content on your website or in the show, doing things, asking people to help you help them somehow, help you help them by getting the message out to even more people, and then make it easy for them to do so. Make it so there's almost no resistance there.
Yeah, 100%. And that's one of the things I struggle with clients and students a lot with that last point that you mentioned of making it easy. So many people want to include every link under the sun in their show notes. And so, you know, it comes back to that kind of marketing saying of a confused consumer doesn't buy. You know, when you give them too many options, too many choices of things to do, that they're not going to take the action you want them to take the most. So I always encourage people to, you know, what do you most want them to do? If you could only pick one, what's the thing that you want them to do?
Yes.
And so that's how I kind of approach it with my clients and students and putting that in the show notes. But I also really love that suggestion of having it to the blog post, and then you can have all of the links in the blog post. That way you don't have to choose your favorite, but you're also giving such a clear and concise call to action to a listener. That's fantastic.
I've also found that when you get people to take one action, they're more likely to take the second one, so long as you provide on that first promise.
Yes.
So make it easy to get that first click. And Amazon does the same thing. Click, 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 and you bought the item. Or you might have set it up for us one click. So make it easy. Make it easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And so while we're here on the subject of calls to action, when it comes to dynamic content, we know, if for anybody who's not familiar in the industry, dynamic content is content that can be changed out at any point in time. So it's great for a temporary call to action, such as, you know, join this workshop that's coming up, or, you know, I'm running a mastermind, or, you know, my course is on sale, or something like that, where it's time sensitive. So dynamic content, you can swap it out, change it at any point in time. Dynamic content is great. Some of the hosts, the podcasting hosting platforms, make it easier than others to insert content where you want it, when you want it within your episode. So if dynamic content is not a great option for whatever reason, because of the placement within the episode, what are your thoughts and feelings about, like, baked in, you know, permanent calls to action that may have a timeline on them?
Oh, like we've been doing for over a dozen years? Sure. That's the way it used to be. I mean, really, even, and people still today are doing those calls to action. They're part of the content, or they're actually baked in the show as an ad. There's a benefit to using dynamic insertion, but it's not mandatory. Having it in there is okay, except it dates your show. Like when March of 2020 hit, I was telling people, hey, don't do shows about COVID unless you're making an episode about whatever your content is about COVID, because people in 2024 are going to be listening to the show from 2020. And okay, we all remember it. And back then we were thinking, oh, this is just going to be a couple of weeks.
Right.
So why date your show like that? And a call to action that goes stale is a call to action that is either going to date you, or it's going to be something, or they're going to not take action because it's just no longer relevant. But if it's something that's kind of evergreen, then go for it. And really, there's nothing wrong with having a stale ad in there if you've got the benefit of it when you release the episode. But remember, you're going to get exponentially more listeners to a podcast in weeks 9 through 52 than you will the first 8 weeks. You're going to get exponentially more listeners in the years to come because it's going to grow, and then it's going to be recommended and shared. And when people start to hear about it, it's going to continue to grow. And it's a multiplication factor. So just keep that in mind when you're doing any kind of calls to action in your content. It's best if it's evergreen, meaning it's going to be as relevant today as it was 4 years ago. But be aware that, you know, if it's something that's going to be out of date, then I'll use an example here. So there was one time when I was going to be going out to California. I thought, I'll have a meetup for my listeners. It's great. Go to California. Hey, we're going to meet at this restaurant at this time on this date. Well, guess what? That's completely out of date. It was over 10 years ago. It's still in the show. So if anybody listens today, they're going to be like, oh, Steve's coming to California? No, I'm not. That was 2012 or whenever it was. So be aware of those things. But don't be afraid that it's going to really ruin your show. It won't. People understand they're listening to an old episode.
That's great advice. And that's something that I personally struggle with because I want that kind of in the moment, immediate benefit. I've been running some workshops lately that have been, you know, time sensitive. And so I've been mentioning those dates in my episode. And every time I mention it, I'm like, should I be doing this? Should I not? And I kind of, like you said, you kind of pros and cons. And so in the moment, I've decided, let's just go for it. And I'll generally say something along the lines of, if you're listening to this episode at the time of release, you know, to give a little context, a little warning to someone who may be finding this episode down the road that, hey, this might not be accurate anymore.
Can I also add something to people who are using dynamic content?
Yeah, please.
Because this is really not on topic here, but since we're talking about dynamic content, I'm loving it. People say dynamic ad insertion, but it's really not true. It's dynamic content insertion. It could be anything you want. So as a podcaster who is going to be providing a service or product to your listeners, or that's the ideal, it could be your own content. There's ways to do that. So it's your own call to action in a pre-recorded message that gets inserted dynamically, meaning I could choose to have it inserted today, and I can have it today decide it's going to go on into an episode from 4 years ago. I can do all that. That's the beauty of dynamic insertion. But a really clever idea that I love that Dave Jackson does. Dave Jackson does the School of Podcasting. And one of his promo breaks, he does the question of the month, which means he asks his listeners, hey, here's the scenario. What would you do? Or what do you like? Or whatever. Well, that question of the month for, we'll say, April of 2024 is going to be stale in May of 2024. So what he does is he has dynamically inserted question of the month. So, hey, this is the question of the month for April 2024 that dynamically gets inserted in all the episodes that go back 3 years ago. So if I'm listening to an episode from 2021, 2020, or whatever, I'm hearing the question of the month for April of 2024. That's how dynamic insertion can benefit you, because if you've got that course or you've got a new book or, hey, sign up for this masterclass or doing a webinar, whatever, you can use that content, that pre-recorded content, as a dynamic promo for your own stuff. And that does keep your content evergreen. And then when the thing's over, insert, hey, sign up for the newsletter or something that is going to be evergreen. And you can swap that out again later when you have your next big deal to do.
That is a great tip. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know we went on a little bit of a tangent there, but I think it was a worthwhile tangent. So I'm glad that the conversation took us in that direction. So just to kind of come back and kind of start to wrap up here, do you have any other tips for making CTAs more comfortable, more natural for introverted podcasters?
Yeah, we're not asking people to no longer be introverts. That's not what we're doing. You're not trying to change people to be extroverts here. It's not going to happen.
Of course, yeah.
It hasn't happened to me. Although my wife will swear up and down, you are not an introvert. You're an extrovert, Steve. No, it's because I've learned how to get out of my own way. Mm-hmm. And the way I've done that is I learned that what I do helps people. If I don't get out there and do things that help people, then what the heck am I doing on this earth? God didn't put me to be on the earth, you know, to be a consumer. I'm supposed to help people in certain ways. So I do that with my business. I do that with my service as well. If people don't know that I have something that I want them to do, or even invite them to do whatever it is, you know, join my class or write, you know, buy the book or whatever. Whatever I do, I know is helping people. So it's my duty to get out there and help people. People want my help. They just don't know it until they found me and maybe I've told them about it. There's another podcast that's been around for a long time called The Money Guy Show. They've been around since like 2005, ridiculous amount of time. For the first 7 or 8 years, it was just the host providing content, helping people out, maybe send them to the show notes, but he never ever mentioned that they were taking new clients. And then he had a business partner who's also co-host there. And they're like, why don't we do this on the show? And they started doing it on the show and they started getting new clients. It wasn't like they were hiding it, but people were kind of saying, hey, how come you guys aren't, are you guys accepting new clients? They were being so good, they couldn't be ignored. But once they opened the floodgates, then it just, their business was already doing great. It got even better when people knew that they were open for business in a way. So if you have a service and you're helping people, it's your duty to get out there and help them. So that's what I think of myself is I've got this service and how am I going to help somebody if they don't know that I can edit their show or I can do whatever it is that they're looking for help with.
Great, great advice. And speaking of your services and what you offer, if listeners want to learn more, where can they come and connect with you?
Oh, so I got to practice what I preach, right? Well, the way I avoid my introvertedness and truly help people is through podcast editing. Now, I know Julia does this as well, so I don't want to be in competition with her, but I serve a specific niche, which is people in the personal finance and investing space. That's my jam. That's where I grew up. That's where I found this new career. So that's where I help people, is in the editing and post-production of their show in the personal finance space. And I've got over 13 years in the podcasting space. Not too many people can say that. So I've solved a lot of goofy problems, because there's a lot of goofy problems. So if Julia can't help you, and I do recommend you go with Julia first, because she's got the heart and she's gonna help you out. I mean,
Thank you.
You're not going to quit on them. That's for sure.
Thank you, Steve.
Then, yeah, if Julia doesn't help you, then hey, let's have a conversation. Go to stevestewart.me, and that's where you can book a call with me.
Fantastic.
How was that? What is that, A-, B+?
I think that's an A+.
No, okay. Thank you.
A+ from the podcast teacher. Absolutely. Steve, this has been such a fantastic conversation. I feel like we have provided value for our listeners, given them some tips and tricks to take away, and of course, practice what we're preaching, giving them those calls to action. And I just want to thank you so much for being here, sharing your time, and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you, Julie. I appreciate being here.
And to wrap up and practice what Steve and I just talked about, I'll give you a quote-unquote support the show style call to action today. If you found something valuable in this episode, would you please share it with a friend? Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening. If something in this episode resonated with you and you're thinking about starting your own podcast, I have a free resource that will help you. It's called the Podcast Roadmap. 7 questions to start your journey. To grab it, just head to thepodcastteacher.com/roadmap. See you next week.